great to be able to spend time together. And I wonder about you. We're going to start this week, we're going to start a new series. When there's an opportunity to make a sacrifice something, the question we always ask is it worth it? Is it worth it? So some of you, I know Dad yesterday cleaned the car, washed it. And some of us ask that question, is it worth it? Is it worth cleaning the car because it's just going to get dirty again? You might ask that question about your house. You know, none of us are having visitors around. So is it worth me cleaning the house because it's just going to get dirty again and no one's going to see it? You might ask that question about a diet. Is it worth it? Can I be bothered to give up all of those foods? Or exercise? Do I want to get all hot and sweaty and put myself out of my comfort zone when I could sit at home not doing exercise? We ask these kind of questions. And even with the time we live in now, with restrictions on our freedoms, we still ask that question, is it worth it? And if we think purely about ourselves, then we might think, no, it's not worth it. But when we think, actually, my actions have an implication on many, many other people, then I might make a different decision. Sacrifice. People ask that about Christianity, don't they? I think many, many people think Christianity is just about rules, keeping rules, ticking it off, not doing this, not doing that, making sure you pray, you read your Bible. It's about ticking off things and not doing things. And a lot of people understand Christianity more about what it's not about than what it is about. And this morning, we're going to look at, we're going to start our new series, which is called Living in Hope, which you can see now. And this series is going to be on the book of 1 Peter. So if you've got a Bible, you might want to open 1 Peter. It's towards the back of your Bible. And we're going to look at this sort of question this morning, you know, is it worth it? And actually this morning, I've called this morning Shielded by God. And we'll look at that a little bit. Now, 1 Peter was written by Peter himself. And it was written to Christianities across modern day Turkey. Christians across modern day Turkey. And they were facing a time when persecution was coming their way. Suffering, trials. There was this reality of a hardship of life that was coming their way. And Peter wrote to encourage them. And we're going to read from that now. Okay, so we're going to start at verse 1. So Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honour at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with joy, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you. In the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Now we have this at the start of this passage. Peter announces it's him. He's an apostle. He's a witness. He's someone who was appointed by Christ. Jesus said to him, on you, on this rock, on the rock of your confession, I will build my church. That's what he said to Peter. And Peter was someone who walked with Jesus. He saw Jesus. He knew Jesus. And now he's writing to encourage this group of elect exiles. Now, Peter uses this term in the sense that we are exiles in this world. If you become a Christian, your hope is not in this world. Your hope is in the kingdom of heaven. It's in Jesus. It's in the things that are unseen. So when we look at this, we're reminded that actually these are exiles. These are people who were living in earth, made their homes in earth, but actually their eternal home, the thing that really mattered, was in heaven. And that's the same for us. We're exiles in this world. We're not living for now. We're living for heaven, for eternity. We're not storing up treasure now. We're storing up treasure in eternity. And that's so important that as we read this, we understand that this is who Peter's writing to, and he wants to encourage them. And he starts with that lovely bit, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. This is God the Father's plan to bring about salvation. In the sanctification of the Spirit of God works in us and sanctifies us, makes us more like Jesus, makes us more holy. And for obedience, and it's about us learning to be obedient to Jesus Christ. But this is about his work. Jesus has done a work in us. He's sprinkled us with the blood, which sounds very strange in these days, but this is about his sacrifice on our behalf, that he has made us holy and blameless before him, before the Father. And that's the Trinity, that God, three in one, very, very, very difficult for our minds to comprehend. But this is the God who we worship. And we, you know, a few weeks ago, I said that we see this in creation. We see, you know, that there is a oneness about things, but there's also a variety. And this is who our God is. He's three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. And we're going to work through this passage this morning. And the thing that I want to say to us is I believe God really wants to encourage you this morning where you are. He really wants to encourage you and strengthen you through what I'm going to share today. And Peter starts with, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is what God has done. Salvation and us being made right with God is not because I prayed, because I've done this, that. This is all about what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Our sins, the things we've done wrong, do not make us alienated from God. We're not right with him. We can't make ourselves right. We can't erase the bad things, hoping that somehow we will get good enough. It just can't happen. We can't make ourselves right with God. Our sins just runs too deep. It's polluted everything. And Jesus came to take upon himself the wrath of God so that we could be made right with him. That's what we believe, that Jesus died in my place. He died in your place so that you could be made right with him. And this is written that he has caused us to be born again. We're now new creations because of what Jesus has done. We are born again. We're born to new life. Our desires, our habits have changed and are changing, that we've been born again. We've been born spiritually. And this is so exciting. And we've been born to a living hope. And that living hope, it's not a hope that's dead. It's not a hope that's all maybe. It's a living hope, and it's living because it's based in the person of Jesus, who walked 2,000 years ago around Nazareth, around Galilee. He walked in the streets of Jerusalem. He died and he rose again. And that's where our faith is based. It's based in the resurrection. It's based in the concrete evidence of what Jesus has done for us. And now he's alive. He's alive. He's in the heavenly realms, but he is in the heavenly realms with a human body. He's our living hope. He's the one who we're living for. He's the one who fills us with joy. It's a living hope. And it tells us that this is an inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you. It can't be changed. It's not going to perish. It's not going to go mouldy. It is imperishable, undefiled and unfading. Kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed. God is shielding us. He's guarding us. But there's this balance here that we need to get, that we are guarded by him through faith. That it's not that we just sit back and relax. Well, you know, it's actually, there's something about living by faith, that we're guarded by him, but as we live by faith. So we need to live by faith, and God is guarding us. And we can't take away one and take away the other. The two are together and they work together. And we can't work them against each other. They work together, that as we live by faith, we're guarded by God, but we are guarded by him. And we can't, it's very difficult to explain, but we can't take one away from the other, that he guards us. And for you, wherever you are, whatever's going on in your life, as you live by faith, as you live through faith, as you follow Jesus, you're guarded by God. You're shielded by him. And this is great news for us. And it says after that, that in this you rejoice. We rejoice in the fact that we are safe in him. We rejoice in the fact that we are safe in our salvation. It's secure. That we can rejoice in this, though now for a little while, you, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. We face persecution, we face hardships, we face trials, we face sacrifice. But we can still rejoice because we know that our eternal destiny is secure in him. And Peter continues that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As Christians, as everybody, in some ways, everyone at times faces times of suffering, but we know as Christians that our suffering is about partly about our character. Now, what people do, the sinful actions of others are not part that they're responsible for them, but God will use those things to bring about faith in us, that they're not wasted. If you've suffered at the hands of someone else, that's not going to be wasted. God's going to redeem that. God's going to bring about something good from that. And this, I was thinking about this a little bit and thinking about carbon and diamonds. Now, carbon can turn into a diamond. But there's some things that have to happen for the carbon, which is very, very little, the coal, to turn into a diamond. We burn coal on the barbecue. We don't really do much with it. It's not particularly valuable, but a diamond is very valuable. And the thing that happens to the lump of coal to turn it into a diamond is three things. One, it has to be very pure. There's a purity. If the carbon's got lots of other elements in it, it's a bit of a mix, it's not great, then it won't ever turn into a diamond. It's about purity. And this speaks to us about, actually, we're called to live a life that's different from the world around us. The second thing is pressure. They reckon it's about 130,000 times the atmospheric pressure that has to go in to turn coal into a diamond, and heat, thousands of degrees of heat. And I was thinking about this and just thinking, actually, you know, for God to produce some really amazing, outstanding stuff in our lives, there will be times when we face times of hardship and times of trials, but it's because God wants to produce something amazing in our lives. God wants to bring about something really great in our lives. Now, this doesn't minimize suffering and trials. It doesn't mean that they're not there, that I can just sort of, well, you know, it's okay. The suffering and trials are real, and they were real for Peter's audience. They were real for the people he was writing to, and they're real for many, many around the world today. We might have a sense of suffering and being in times of hardship, but there are people who are living in fear for their lives because they're following Jesus. And we need to know that actually God is working. God is at work, that none of this will be wasted, that God is working. And if you're going through a trial at the minute where you are, there's a question to ask. What's happening in my heart at this time? What's going on in my heart during this trial? And where am I looking for perspective? Where am I going to find moments of solace during this time? And if you look at those two questions, and you can see that actually, although it's hard, you're trying to get yourself before God, you're trying to find solace in him. I think that's great. And God is producing things in you. God's producing character. God's producing new things in you. And it's really important for us to know that. The next bit that Peter goes on to say, get used to saying Paul, if you speak about the Bible, so much is written by him. It says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Peter had seen him. But for us and Christians all over the world, we've not seen him, but we love him. This is what faith is about. We've not seen him, but we love him. You do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that's inexpressibly and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your salvation, the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now, Peter isn't talking about just your soul being saved. He's talking about your whole being, the salvation of your whole being. But there is joy for us as we walk through life. There is joy, daily joy. And joy is not like happiness that's based on circumstances. We can have joy even through times of trial and challenge. And he goes on to say that concerning this salvation, and this bit I love, the prophets, so the Old Testament prophets who prophesied about Jesus coming, they didn't know his name. They searched God, and as they wrote and they were wrestling with these things, trying to work out, when is this going to happen? What's going to happen? But they wrote about him. They wrote about him in such clarity about Jesus coming. And if you look at the prophecies that they wrote and how they fit Jesus, it's just incredible. But they saw from a distance, they foretold about him. And then we're told as we read on that they were writing for us, that we might see him more clearly. That they were serving their generation, but they were serving us in revealing Jesus. And I don't know about you, but often you get asked that question, you know, if you could go back in time to any time period, what would you like to do? And, you know, if you don't believe in Jesus, you might say any number of things. But if you're a Christian, probably you sort of start to think about the Bible. And for many of us, we might think about the Old Testament. Wow, to be at Mount Sinai when God was there. Wow, that would have been incredible. Or to be there when David defeated Goliath. Or to be there when Elijah was on Mount Carmel and defeated the prophets of Baal. And we think about those things and we think, wow, that must have been amazing. But what is amazing is the time we now live in. They saw great things, but we live in the greatest time throughout history because Jesus has come, because he's poured out his spirit on all flesh. We live in the greatest time. And Peter says that these are things that angels long to look into, and you and I, anyone who gives their life to Jesus, we experience this. The commentary I was reading just finished with these words and on this passage. I just thought, this is incredible. He said, Old Testament prophets saw it from afar, and angels also marvel when gazing upon what God has done in Christ. While Petrine readers, the people who Peter was writing to, actually experience it. And that's true for us today. We experience the amazing salvation, the thing that angels long to look into, the thing that the prophets saw from afar. We get to experience it, and that fills us with joy. We get to experience this great salvation, and I want to encourage you with that today. You get to experience this great salvation. I hope your heart's burning with joy, just knowing, hey, it's right. My soul is well with God. My eternal destiny is secure, that the times of trial, we're hoping that we slowly creep out of this lockdown period and things return to normal. But you know what? Normal still has trials, still has difficulty, still has terrible things happen. There's something within us that yearns for something more. And for those who believe in Jesus, who have repented of their sins, turned away from the things wrong they've done and said, I believe in Jesus, there is a great destiny that it cannot be changed. It cannot be defiled, cannot be perished. It is for us. And this is great news. This is so encouraging. Just reading these verses, just knowing that there is a better day ahead of us. And I want to encourage you with that today, that we hope that we move out of lockdown well and everything else. But remember, this is not our home. This is not what we're hoping for. We're hoping for the fullness of our salvation when Jesus returns. And in the meantime, we hold fast during times of trials and sufferings. I want to encourage you with that. There's just a couple of things that I'd like us to pray for. I'd like to say one thing before finishing, actually, that we started with sacrifice. You know, is it worth it? And the reality is that our home is there, that we're reminded to focus on the things that are unseen. And this means that time, money, resources, effort, things that we lose are worthwhile because of the great things that we receive when Jesus returns, because of the greatness of our salvation. Paul would say that, you know, that these things are not that they're momentary. These trials, they're momentary. The things that we face are momentary compared to the eternal weight of glory that's before us. So I want to encourage, as I suppose, as a sort of how to respond with generosity, respond with giving glory to God, giving him joy, and not being afraid to say, actually, I'm going to follow you wherever you take me. To again say, I give up my life for you, which is what we do. When we respond to him, we say, hey, I give my life to you and I choose to follow you.